WLIW-FM In Conversation, our special program that brings you dynamic voices from across our region and beyond.
Welcome to WLIW-FM In Conversation. I'm your host, Diane Michelli, General Manager of WLIW-FM. Joining me is Phil Andrews, President of Long Island African American Chamber of Commerce and two-term past president of the 100 Black Men of Eastern New York. Phil also is a board member of the Long Island Association, Interfaith Nutrition Network, and the WNET Group's Community Advisory Board, and sits on the President's Council of Big Brothers and Sisters of Long Island. Welcome, Phil, and thanks for joining WLIW-FM In Conversation.
Thank you for having me as a guest.
It's our pleasure. You wear many hats, but let's start with your role as president of Long Island African American Chamber of Commerce. Tell us about your role and the work of the chamber on Long Island.
But one of the things of my role as a Chamber of Commerce as the president, I was very much like Barack Obama. I was term limited. I got a call to be president. And since that time, we've done great work. We have been named the 2000 Small Business Champion for all of downstate New York in 2019. And also during the pandemic, we was named one of the most powerful Long Islanders assisting small businesses. We helped $250,000 in access to capital, and a total of $5 million apply. And during that time, since then, we've been part of a federal grant from the White House of $100 million across the country for the last 2 years, bringing every resource that we can to the minority served community, access to capital, procurement, technical assistance, Google, Chase, advancing small business. So everything from A to Z. So we've been very busy. As you know, a federal grant is a very tedious task.
A lot of reporting to be done and a lot of great work that can be done as a result of the federal grant. So congratulations on that. It sounds like you're very busy with all of that work. What are some of the programs that are part of the Long Island African American Chamber of Commerce on Long Island?
Paul, for many years, we had a lot of signature programs. For 5 years, we actually had art at Bloomingdale's hanging on the wall. But as you know, the Bloomingdale's in Garden City, it was the only one in the country that had a furniture gallery. And we did that for 5 years, and it was wonderful. It was one of our biggest signature events, but somehow they moved their location, and we no longer have that event. We have Ladies of LIAC, we honor a women's history program. We did a Black Expo, and we also did a regional development, chamber development conference, bringing the Muslims together, the Christians, because chambers need to know how strong chambers function. So we took the lead on helping other chambers become strong chambers of commerce.
I remember the Bloomingdale's event because that's where I met you first at one of those art expos, which was fabulous. So I'm sorry to hear that that's not possible anymore, but so many other things that you're doing are instrumental in terms of pushing for more Black-owned businesses and enterprises on Long Island. And, you've just talked about some of the successes and the impact that the programs you've had. How is the work that you do intertwined with economic justice and civil rights for the African-American community on Long Island?
Well, one of the things that we found is that through our work as being so substantial, we also opened up additional African-American Small Business Foundation. And we had just opened it, and IKEA saw our work, and they gave us a $25,000 foundation for our small businesses, and we allocated $15,000 to 10 businesses and the rest for technical support to help them. So that was wonderful that such a large corporation saw our work and they gave us a grant.
What are some of the businesses that have been established as a result of the work that you're doing?
Well, there's tons of them. There's restaurant businesses, Carolyn's Cuisine. One of the things that we did, we advised the businesses. Sometimes, even if you're in a storefront, the storefront may not work. And we tell them, sell equipment, regroup yourself. And actually, we had this particular business during the pandemic. We was able to get a part of New York restaurant grant. When a store wasn't doing the sales that it would, the New York State provided 150 meals a week for quite a few months to help sustain her business. But all of that comes through the chamber because we're the pipeline for getting information to the community.
And you're a business person. What are your business experience and how has that impacted how you work with Black business owners on Long Island and through the chamber?
Well, one of the things that I had in my 20s, I had like 10 stores, a haircut hut, barbershop franchise, and I was engaged in the community. I used to have Kwanzaa events in the barbershop. I used to give away information on HIV, all type of health. I had art. I had on the wall value system determine human possibilities. And the customers had kente cloth around their neck in the hut, symbolized the family and the community. So I've been a long-term community leader since my 20s in Long Island, in New York region.
And entrepreneurship, I think that that's something that you've spoken about being a big part of the African-American business community. Talk a little bit about that, the importance of it, and how that bears out.
Well, one of the things that we do is we believe that entrepreneurs are problem solvers, but they need people like us that really know how to access resources such as the Small Business Administration. We brought in last night, we had a very successful business, Gregory Bradley Consulting Training, and he's told them about the path of how he started government contracting, and he's now in 5 states. So we also believe that we learn best through master mentoring, bringing in tremendous mentors that have been able to navigate the blocks.
And you recently joined the Long Island Association, which since 1926 has operated as Long Island's Chamber of Commerce itself. And you're also on the Interfaith Nutrition Network board, I believe.
Yes, that's correct. But what happened with the inn is a very interesting story. My mentor was a Tuskegee Airman, and he brought me to there. He used to go there and eat a hot dog and tell me, we need to be involved in this board. Our community is being served. And many years later, I became a part of the board. I've been on the board 7 years. And the LIA, I was familiar with it through the 100 Black Men. One of our other presidents was very prominent, but we have took it to another level. We just did a study with LIU for minority businesses and how we could do it between the partnership and the Long Island Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the LIA and Long Island African American Chamber of Commerce. But me being a champion, it's definitely bringing more small businesses to the LIA. Traditionally, it was known for only very large corporate partners.
Mm-hmm. And you're also a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Long Island. So what are some of the needs that you see as a board member of all of these organizations?
I see involvement for more of our community being involved, more diverse board on LIA. And one of the things I'm trying to do is get more men to take the time to mentor African-American boys. We did have one event. And when I first came in, we brought the brothers and sisters. And we also got a kid that was a single mother. We paid for his tuxedo. We had him apply for the National Achievers of Urban League. And just recently, I sent them the application for 100 Black Men of America to apply for scholarship for 4 years. So we have a national reach, too. And we want to be able to touch some of these families that need help.
And through all the organizations that you're part of, what are some of the successes that you've seen in the African American business community on Long Island that people can learn from and that can model?
Well, we had one guy, he came to me, just started his business. He called me about a year and a half, and he said, I never turned down his call. He wasn't even a member of the Chamber of Commerce. And he said, Phil, I got $250,000 loan. And I've been working with him ever since and still working with him to access services because, as you know, a business owner, they got so much to do, but I listen to them and hear their problems. And I say, you know, by the way, you should do X, Y, Z. This is resource over here.
So you pull together a lot of resources for people that they can tap into to help them with their businesses. What are some of those resources?
Well, the Small Business Administration, the SBDCs, they have what they call entrepreneurial assistance system centers. And we also, the CDFI, the Community Development Financial Institutions, get loans from the Treasury that's at a less interest rate than banks. So, and they also work with small businesses over a long period of time to get access to capital. Like the bank, they don't do that. They just say, you qualify or you don't. So we want to believe that access to capital is very critical to small business owners.
Absolutely. And this is WLIWFM In Conversation. I'm Diane Michelli, and I'm speaking with Phil Andrews, president of Long Island African American Chamber of Commerce and two-term past president of the 100 Black Men of Eastern New York. Phil also is a board member of the Long Island Association, Interfaith Nutrition Network, and the WNET Group's Community Advisory Board, and sits on the President's Council of the Big Brothers and Sisters of Long Island. Phil, let's switch gears a little bit to another organization you've mentioned and that you are a part of and that you've led, 100 Black Men of Eastern New York. As past president and current member of the organization, what's the mission, focus, and role of 100 Black Men on Long Island?
Well, for clarity, I'd like to say in 2021, I founded the first new chapter, 100 Black Men of Eastern New York, since the 1970s in New York, and they gave us greater territory. Eastern New York conserves Long Island, Queens, Brooklyn, around the Bronx, Waters, and Staten Island, and it's wonderful. I started in 100 Black Men for at 25 years old on the board of directors, so I am that mentee. So I believe that we do many things. The primary focus is we want to be the premier African-American mentoring organization in the world, because if we don't impact the next generation, we won't be able to continue the success. There are four pillars that we do, mentoring, education, economic development, health and wellness. And we added a fifth one. Without leadership, you know, you can't, everything rises or falls. So we need to teach people how to be leaders, even the men that I work with, we teach them leadership. And our new model is very unique, mentoring across a lifetime up until the age of 78. We just don't need mentoring at 25 or 19. There's some men needed at 40, 50, 60. So we have took the mantle around a longer span of mentoring.
Well, that's one of the cornerstones of 100 Black Men, as you said, mentorship. And what's the role and importance of mentorship for the African-American community on Long Island? And I think there's a saying that you have that I think really sort of crystallizes the philosophy.
Yes, one of them is what they see, they'll be. And we cannot, if they can't see us, they certainly can't be us. So one of the things that we do is that we believe that we have to go into the schools, we have to have programs, and it has to be smart. You know, because you can't just do something and it don't work. We have to measure it, we have to see the goals, they have to be attainable. And we've done a lot over the last, as a matter of fact, our national chairman had passed recently, and he had raised $100 million for HBCU. So I'm encouraged by that, what we can even do in our local areas. Scholarships are critical. I've met students that was Eagle Stouts and had 100% average, and this college was not still paid.
Yeah, college loans and cost of college and education is a critical need, particularly for underserved communities, as we know. So I'm sure that that will have a huge impact and is important work. And you also mentioned that one of the new aspects of 100 Black Men is mentoring for leadership. So how does that take shape, and what's the importance and impact of that?
Well, one of the things that we did nationally is our national organization has developed a leadership institute where we want to take younger men or even men like myself and prepare us in leadership in such a way that we would even be able to be on our corporate boards in America.
And you mentioned that 100 Black Men focuses on mentorship through life. Do you still have a mentor, and who have been your mentors, and what's the impact of the mentorship that you've received over the course of your life?
Well, I could mention a couple of them. A couple of them was a Tuskegee Airman. His name was Ed Monroe, and he used to whisper in my ear that we all have a little Tuskegee in us. And another one, George A. Jones, he was a brigadier general. He would tell us, as I am, you shall be. Come on and follow me. So I had some tremendous, I'm just so lucky when I think about it. The other day I was riding by where they put his statue up, and I was in a car and I had to take a picture of the statue. But those guys were just, as you know, they call them the greatest generation.
Yes. And what about now? Do you have a mentor? I'm sure you mentor others, but do you have a mentor?
Well, a lot of my mentoring comes into reading books, too. You know, I love biographies. I'm reading the biography of the current president of Disney. Just some phenomenal things that you could read. Because somebody said, hey, life is too short to just wait for your own experience. You have to learn from the experience of others.
That's true. And you've talked with Gianna Volpe, the host of The Heart of the East End, on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And you talked about the impact of Martin Luther King Jr. and other civil rights leaders when you were growing up. Tell us a little bit about how learning about them and living through the experiences that you've lived through knowing about their work has impacted you and also translate into your work in the African-American community.
Well, one of the things, and I think I partially mentioned it at the last interview, is that Martin Luther King was a motivator to me. He was so inspirational, but nobody ever calls him a motivational speaker. You know, he was a massive communicator, and I also read once that, you know, the people that succeed on high levels, they often have the tools of massive communication. So that's been critical to be able to get my message out with clarity, just like a Dr. King would. And he was just motivated. And then he had those things like, if you can't be a mountain, if you're a mohawk, be a mountain. Just whatever you are, if you're a street sweeper, be the best. I mean, that was like motivational as you could get. You know, no matter what you're doing, do it to the best that you could do.
He was a true motivator and inspiration, and continues to be so, as you mentioned. And you talked also a little bit about some of the things that people didn't realize about Martin Luther King Jr., which I think are still issues today, which is economic justice, you know, pay parity. What are some of the challenges that you see today that are unique or even just a part of the African-American community that are things that you really focus on and that you think we can derive learnings from the past?
Well, I think that one of the things that we have less access to capital, even when we're doing great work, like the Chamber of Commerce, people are looking at my work nationally, the 100 Black Men. We have a hard time of getting corporations to fund it. But I do believe there's a bright hope that we have the ability to share what we're doing across social media. We have less access to media. Right. I can go to almost any paper in the country or locally, and you see very few African-Americans reflected. And that possibly means maybe we need more of us in those areas, in those reporting rooms and the TVs and in the media, which we have very low numbers.
Well, I'm glad we're able to have this conversation specifically for that reason and all the other reasons we're talking about. One of the organizations that you're also involved in that you touched on a little bit about is the Interfaith Nutrition Network, which we know it's hard to believe sometimes, but there is great food insecurity on Long Island. And can you talk a little bit about that, as particularly as it relates to the African-American community and your work with the Interfaith Nutrition Network and some of the things that are being done to help alleviate that issue?
Yes. Right now, as you know, it's a crisis. I was just reading how it's a crisis. They cannot even keep up with the food and the prices. The food went up. So I think one of the things that is on my goal is to engage our own community to help more of the 100 Black Women, the Links, the Deltas, the Chamber of Commerce, because not only will we be helping bring in more food and resources, but we will be serving as a mentor. You know, there's somebody, some young kids is gonna be walking, looking at us, some family. So I think we should deal with the people that have the most need in our community and help support that cause. That's one of the reasons why I stay on the board. I believe that, and I'm only African-American male on the board too.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so many of these things intersect, so many of these issues, so much of the work that you do and the different organizations that you work with and that you're a part of intersect in so many different ways. What's the importance of all these connections? You're a connector. You connect yeah. people. And I think that that's something that, you know, is so important. But how do you see that as important yourself, and what's the impact of that?
Well, I believe in we have to work in the ecosystem, and everything that we do got to make everybody around us better. You know, we even 100 Black Men, a primary mission, you know, that you talk about the African-American community, but we also want to uplift the community wide wherever we can. And one day we had a conversation that maybe when our need is met, we may even be mentoring other communities. And sometimes we do touch other communities. I had a recent interview with a young man from the School of Journalism at Hofstra, and he was very interesting. The first thing he said, I've seen your work and I need 30 minutes with you. So I turned that into a mentoring experience. And this young man was fantastic. It was thought that he couldn't even graduate from college because he had autism. But he took 30 minutes and said, Phil, I want to learn from you.
That's amazing. Hofstra's a great university, great journalism program. Full disclosure, I am the co-chair of the Dean's Advisory Board of the Lawrence Herbert School of Communications.
So. Oh boy, in that facility, they took me on a tour of that, and they also had me on a panel not too long ago about diversity in media. I don't know if you heard of that event.
Yes. They do great work, as do you. So tell me a little bit, what do you want people to know that I haven't asked you?
Well, I'm a PK kid. I'm actually very public, but I'm also very private. You know, sometimes you like to be quiet and read a book, but then they see the public side. And I also want them to know that, you know, that I was raised by my aunt. My mother died when I was 5. And I don't even know anything about my mother but a picture. But the person that raised me was a community advocate. So that's why leadership became a very early concept of working in the community. We used to pick up all the kids and take them to church. So I believe in I'm giving back what was given to me.
Well, thank you, Phil, for all you do. And how can people across Long Island be involved or learn more about the Long Island African American Chamber of Commerce, 100 Black Men of Eastern New York, Interfaith Nutrition Network, any of the organizations that you think you can point people to?
Okay, they can just Google us on Google. You know, Google is very good. New York State's largest African American chamber, 100 Black Men of Eastern New York, and the Interfaith Nutrition Network, they can put that in. One of the things is Google is, hey, you can even tell Google to add up math and it'll add it up. So we have a tremendous resource today. And our work, one of the things I believe is you have to show people your work. You know, in the work, I don't hard sell anybody on anything. They can see the work, they can see our commitment. And just recently, we got a donation from somebody's paycheck through the work of the 100. And we don't even know how they found us, but they saw our work and they sent a check to us. So as they say, you shall be known by your works.
Well, thank you, Phil, for your work and all that you do to lift up the community and to lift up the next generation. We really appreciate you and all of that. And thank you for joining us.
And thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Phil Andrews, president of Long Island African American Chamber of Commerce and two-term past president of the 100 Black Men of Eastern New York. Phil also is a board member of the Long Island Association, Interfaith Nutrition Network, and the WNET Group's Community Advisory Board, and sits on the President Council of Big Brothers and Sisters of Long Island.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of WLIWFM In Conversation, our special program that brings you dynamic voices from across our region and beyond.